Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Thank you for spending some time with us. Author musician Les Raybon has republished his highly acclaimed book, The Truth, with Reader's Magnet. He says this new edition holds refined interpretations of the Bible, no more, no less. He says many people, including pastors, did misleading takes about the Word of God. His goal is to induce readers to be circumspect of their own and others' misleading spiritual construction. Les was born in Winfield, Louisiana, played trumpet in high school with different bands, moved to Detroit in 1969, and a career was born. Released two CDs, appeared with a number of luminaries. In 1979, he accepted Jesus Christ, a life-changing experience. Now he's working on two movie scripts. Les Raybon, author of The Truth. By the way, his new edition featured at the 2019 Miami Book Fair. Les with us on This Week in America. Les, welcome to the program. It's great to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you, sir, and it's good to be here.
We are going to have an interesting conversation today about your book, and it's really gaining a lot of momentum. And I know you want to sort of establish the mood, set the table for what we're going to talk about today. I believe you have a prayer to get us started.
Yes, I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity. I do understand that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And I can say with confidence that this is from you. And I pray for everyone that will hear this broadcast. We'll hear something that will cause, that will start a wildfire of hope, causing them to turn to the only true and living God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Les Raybon with us on the program, talking about his book, The Truth, the new edition. Let's talk about several of the chapters in there. And I'm really looking forward to listening and having this conversation. You talk about the gap theory. Let's start with that. Explain that, if you would, please.
Okay, yes. Rich, I talk to a lot of people, and many of them are void of the truth. And there are so many different teachings that can leave people confused. And I mean bizarre teachings, such as the gap theory. I don't know where they got it from because it's not in scripture. They're saying that a 1,000-year gap took place between Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. They claim this is the result of Satan being cast out of heaven, causing total chaos, utter confusion and disorder. They even tried to use Genesis 1:28, where God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." They also try to use Genesis chapter, Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, where God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." They are saying the word replenish means to refill. Now, let's see what the word of God has to say about all this. We know God created the heavens and earth, and they are right about this one issue. He doesn't make anything void. Now, is it so hard to believe that it was dark because God hasn't spoken the sun, moon, and stars into existence? And it was void or empty because God hadn't put anything on it yet? The term replenish, if you look at the Hebrew definition, you will find the word malah. It means to fill or be full of. Maybe that's too simple for some. But the truth says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, says, "In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day." Now, if you really look closely at verse 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 1, you will see the Trinity at work. God the Father created heaven and earth. Now, how did he do it? He did it with words. And who is the word? Jesus. Listen closer to the truth of Scripture in Ephesians 3 and 9, chapter 3 and verse 9. and to make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery. Let me read that again. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which was from the beginning of the world, has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:16, say, for by him, Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now, before I go any further, I want to show you one key word that blows that teaching away. That one key word is and. Now, we know the word and is a continuation of a phrase. It's used three times in that verse, and the last one being key. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Hebrew definition for moved is to brood. What is the purpose of brooding? A chicken broods over her eggs for one purpose, or for what purpose, rather, I'm sorry, to bring forth life. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? To quicken or give life. Now, the minister that said, how can God create darkness if there's no darkness in him, has not read the truth of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7. It says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. I would encourage them to read chapter 2 of Genesis, starting at verse 4. And through verse 8, it says, God gave a full history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The Father never said anything about a gap. If God didn't reveal it, why are some trying to teach it as truth? Now, see, Deuteronomy, it's in verse 29, chapter 29, in verse 29, it says, the secret things belongs unto the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belongs to us and to our children, that we may do all the laws of all the words of the law. See, everything God wanted us to know is in his word.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a violation of scripture, Brother Rich. They are adding to God's word. And there are many scriptures, but I like the simplicity of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. He says, add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee and you be a liar. Lest he reprove you and you be found a liar. That's what the word of God says for people that add to his word. And this next topic, well, I want to go to next topic.
Yeah, and let me, people listening, and I'm sure you have their attention, our guest on the program is Plez Raybon. That's P-L-E-Z-E, Raybon, R-A-Y-B-O-N. The book is The Truth. You'll find that at readersmagnet.com. You'll find it, of course, at Amazon. Going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you will find information there as well. Next up, Plez, I understand we're going to be talking about what happens when people say if it wasn't for Adam. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, because this is not really a teaching. It's just a saying I hear people say more, quite often.
Yes.
They say, they make the statement that if it wasn't for Adam, we wouldn't be in all this mess, or we wouldn't be in certain situations or whatever. And part of that is true. But they make it sound like if Adam hadn't sinned, he would have reached some kind of spiritual utopia or something. And the word of God is clear that God never planned or intent for righteousness to come through Adam. I firmly believe that we won't have an accurate understanding without a correlation of Scripture. I want to suggest to you that in Adam's case, sin was inevitable. It was something that couldn't be avoided or escaped. And when you read Revelations chapter 13, verse 18, Revelations chapter 13, verse 8, I'm sorry. The last part of that verse says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means his suffering and our redemption was predetermined before Adam was created. And some make it sound like Adam became carnal or unspiritual before he sinned, or after he sinned, I'm sorry. But Scripture shows us that he was carnal or unspiritual before he sinned. So there was no way he could keep God's laws or commandments. Why? Because they are spiritual. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll start at verse 45 through 49. In these verses, the Holy Spirit removes all the drama and gets right to the facts. Now, we hear the term the fall of man, but you won't find that term in Scripture, but here is what you will find. In verse 45, it says, "So it is written, the first man was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." Now, verse 46 is a very important thing to understand. It says, "How be it that was first?" No, I'm sorry. Let me repeat that. "How be it that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that, that which is spiritual." See, the first man is of the earth. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 40 says, "As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly." Question is, how are they that are earthy? Well, according to Job 4:19, I can use the term, we dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is the dust. And Psalms 89, verse 48, it says, "What man is he that lives and shall not see death?" So, in other words, the natural man is subject to death, destined to die. He's worldly minded, devoted to the matters and concerns and interests and pleasures of this world. And verse 49. Okay. And we read, "We have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." In contrast, how are they that are heavenly? According to Ephesians 1:5, they are spiritually adopted. In verse 13, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And according to Galatians 4:6, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father," giving us the ability to become spiritually minded, or spiritual minded, through the through his word, gaining the peace and rest of God.
Our guest once again is Plez Raybon. That's P-L-E-Z-E, Plez Raybon. The book is The Truth. The book is available at readersmagnet.com, also available at amazon.com. Talking about some of the chapters that are in the book, this is a very thought-provoking book, and we encourage you to get information on the book by going to the websites that I mentioned, Reader's Magnet, as well as with Amazon. Time is going by so quickly. I know, Plez, you want to talk about A Rampart of Love, of Hate. About 5-6 minutes left in the program. If you would go ahead and give us what you write about in the book on those topics.
You know, people that haven't accepted Jesus Christ, they don't know how much God loves them. So we'll start with the definition of a rampart. It means an embankment built for defense. Anything that serves as a defense, protection, or an elevation. Now let's go to the Word of God. And since we're focusing on the rampart of love, let's look at God's position, his methods, and his phraseology, and his love for the simple. We can safely say that wisdom typifies Jesus. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, and redemption. So let's look at the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, which states, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her 7 pillars. She has killed her beasts and furnished her tables. She has sent forth her maidens. She cries upon the highest places of the city. And this is what she's crying. She said, whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that want understanding, she says to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled, and forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Look at verse 3 again. It says, she cries upon the highest place, a mound or an elevated place in this, of the city, to give wise and sound instruction to the simple. See, wisdom is telling us to eat of the bread and drink of the wine which she has mingled. This bread typifies Jesus because he is the bread of life. It also typifies the Holy Spirit because he is the only one who can satisfy our thirst. Most importantly of all, wisdom tells the simple how to acquire wisdom and understanding. Listen to how the Amplified Bible reads in Proverbs 9 and 10. It says, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning. It is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. See, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it is the knowledge of God that gives us insight and understanding. If you look at 2 Peter 1:13, according to his divine power has given us or given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. And I would encourage them to read verses 4 through 11. It would really benefit them. But take note to the place from where wisdom speaks, the highest places of the city, her methods and her words, her phraseologies, the way it's said and who she's addressing, the simple. The purpose of wisdom is to build a wall of protection around the simple with the truth, to elevate them to a higher place. And God has given us his spirit to take us to that higher place. Ephesians 2:6 says it like this, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus to deliver the simple from the corruption that is in the world through lust and to give them the abundant life and an expected end. Or hopefully, and rather.
Yes.
Now, the rampart of hate, well, we say the flip side of the rampart of love is a rampart of hate. And so in contrast to wisdom, the foolish woman typifies the world or the spirit of wickedness. And according to Proverbs 9, starting at verse 13 through 17, she is clamorous or loud. She's simple and knows nothing. In verse 14, it says, she sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that won't understand, and she says to him, now listen to how the wicked woman, what she says to the simple. She says, stolen words are sweet, meaning pleasures, passions, especially those that are forbidden. Because she says, stolen words are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's talking about forbidden stuff, Brother Rich.
Yes.
I mean, she gives the simple nothing but a harder way to go. But that's the world. It's big, it's loud, and it offers many opportunities that lead to destruction and false hope. You must understand that everything Satan does, it is to distract you from receiving the truth. God our Father gives the simple his love and promise of eternal life. It is very important to note that she's talking to the simple, and they are unaware of Satan's plan. They nonchalantly, unknowingly go into destruction. And to make matters even worse, when they look to the church, they hear of pastors having sex with their secretaries, pastors coming out of the closet having sex with other men, children being sexually abused, a higher divorce rate in the church than that of the world. The simple don't know that wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. So they continue down Broadway, where everyone seems to be having such a good time. But verse 18 says they don't know that the dead are there and her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's take a look at verse 8 again, and you will see that God placed wisdom in the highest places of the city. And wisdom cries to the simple, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. Children of God, the church is supposed to be a bright light to draw them that go on their way. But her light has become so dim that they don't even notice it. The foolish woman has the attention of the simple. Not because she has a bright light or even the goods, but because she's loud. She don't need to be in the highest place to get their attention. She knows that she can keep them entertained by magnifying all the bad things that's happening in the church and keep them distracted with noise. Look at the kids today. Their music is so loud, it will have your car vibrating 10 feet away.
Yes.
It's the noise that keeps them distracted, and the dimming light of the church keeps them confused. The simple, in their confusion, will try to fill that void with everything but the truth. And Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the only one who can fill that void. This is why it is so important to have a personal and vibrant relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to help them see the truth, because Satan's sole purpose is to build an embankment of misery and despair, even over a believer. And I do believe Christians need to hear this again and again. Why? Because I have talked to many Christians that don't seem to have a clue to what Satan is really after.
And you address that so well in the book, and unfortunately we're out of time, and you've covered so much ground that's thought-provoking, that's very important. The book is The Truth by Plez Raybon. That's P-L-E-Z-E, Raybon, R-A-Y-B-O-N. The book is available at readersmagnet.com. You'll find it available at Amazon, of course, and you can link on directly to a link for the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Plez, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. thank you so much for sharing some time with us today. And I know your passion for this. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much, Rich. You do a phenomenal job, so thank you.
It has been our pleasure. It's a very important message, and we're happy to get that out there. And again, the book is The Truth by Pleas Raybon. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.